Ephesians, please, chapter 2. Just two texts that have been read already, but I have them upon my heart tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses number 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's all we'll read, and I trust with the Lord's help to look at this, these texts, these two texts. They're very valuable, very vital to understand and as we preach the gospel of God's grace. And we hope that God will help you to listen tonight to four words that I want to pick up from these two texts. I will not put them in the order that we read them. Rather, I would like to emphasize them in this order. I want to look at the word saved, the most important word for you to consider tonight. I want to look secondly at the word grace. And we'll find out what that really means. The word grace, a most important word for you to understand tonight. Thirdly, we wanted to look at the word gift and see what's conveyed in that, that the Spirit of God would bring before us from this text. And then finally, we just want to look at the word faith, because we'll see the importance of that word when we get to the end of our little message of God so helps us. Now we want to look at the word saved. I want you to recognize tonight that that word in our Bible is a very important word. And in fact, if you're not saved tonight, to you, it's the most important word for you to understand. Let me be very clear, friend. When we preach the word saved, we stand in the company of the greatest man in our Bible. In other words, when I'm preaching that word tonight, I feel small in preaching it. Because we remember that Moses, the greatest leader in the economy in the Old Testament, he used that word so graphically and clearly when he looked at a nation that had been delivered out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And as he views that vast company, he says concerning them, O people saved of the Lord, who is like unto thee? O people saved of or by the Lord. He used the word saved. The word saved. Remember the glowing prophet Isaiah, whose language is superb. We cannot improve upon it. It's him that puts in that great text that we love. I found that text over in the tabernacle of Spurgeon when I was over in London. I found his tabernacle, and it's written right across the back wall. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. So Isaiah uses that word saved, implies, we're going to touch in a moment, but these are the great men that used it. Remember that Peter, that fisherman that we spoke about recently, used that word so definitely in Acts chapter 4. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, none other name under heaven, whereby we must be saved. So he uses the word so clearly. Paul the Apostle often uses that word. But remember 1 Timothy chapter 2. God will have all men to be saved. But I'm glad, friend, when I'm quoting the word saved, I'm depending on the greatest authority in the universe. The Lord Jesus himself said these words, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I hope tonight. Can you understand? If you don't, I'll try to help you. But I want to ask the question, are you saved? And that great tectonic that left Belfast from whence I come, and went out on its maiden journey, hit that iceberg, and when the morning news broke, and when the papers put it, had it in the papers in the front page, I still have a front page concerning that vast ship as it was going down. And there were two columns
And the one Paul was saved, and it did the loads that were saved from that great vessel and from drowning.
On the other side was another column, lost.
And it did the names of the lost.
My friend, that divides our audience tonight. Those that are saved, those that are lost.
And it would be good if God just located you tonight
to find out, as a sinner, you're lost to God. I need to be saved. I emphasize again, Peter said, must be saved. God desires it. Christ died that you might be saved.
The word saved implies saved from.
Most of us have the experiences physically
of being saved, I'm sure. I remember as a little boy,
only 8 or 9 years of age.
And as we went out for a walk one Sunday,
my father and mother were at the beck. And we went ahead. And I remember my older brother and I,
we would ride the corner running. And it happened to be across the Leiden River. There was a large tree that was blown down by a wind that lay across the waters.
My silly little mind, and I couldn't swim.
I thought, I'm going to go across and see what it's like.
I remember going out that big trunk and heading out to the end,
and I slipped and didn't win it.
I struggled and I swallowed and it went down and it came up and it went down and it came up.
I thought it was gone. I cried for help. I can almost feel it yesterday in your hand. Just hold me right up. My father's hand. Never forget.
They came around the corner and saw the plate. He stealthily ran out.
But the adrenaline up, I put his hat and he pulled me out. I was saved from drowning. This man.
38 years ago, I was saved from going down to everlasting fire. I was saved from hell, but I was saved from my sins. I hope you get that, friend. When we are using the word saved
from your Bible or my Bible, I hope you've got a Bible tonight. Check it well.
Underline it in your Bible. Saved. That's a necessity to get through the pearl-hung gates.
No one will ever cross the threshold into heaven without being saved. You need it, friend.
It's a necessity. Without it, you'll perish. Saved. Saved from
our sins. See, friend, the problem with humanity
is not economical,
or it's not social, or it's not political.
The problem with humanity, friend,
is the problem with spiritual, it's sin. That's the barrier between man and God. That has to be looked after if you're going to be in heaven.
But all men have sinned. I hope you've got a hold of that, friend, tonight. Saved.
Saved from sin. I never forget that guy. I was not often going to senators.
I mean, just an essence going to a funeral. I was heading through from the little place called Nineveh where we lived, and I was heading through to Bridgewater, through the Middleton, to the valley area to preach the gospel. It was a nice day. I had a little time on my hand, I was alone, and I happened to be passing by a Baptist church, and I looked down to the right, and I noticed the sinner. I thought, my, that sinner seems to be so unkempt. The grass seems to be growing, but I see 2 stones of this tall grass. I'll stop and go down and look. I remember walking down that sunny day,
and I was down and started to read 2 stones.
I remember reading one, and one said, redeemed.
Wonderful word. I said, thank God, there's one I'll meet in heaven.
But I'll never forget
the day I die. I've never come down and show you. I can better see it now than it was when I saw it first.
I picked up a little piece of a twig,
because I had to keep the moss away from the legs that were etched into the stew.
And this is what I come across.
The first letter was A.
And then the next word that I got when I
took away the moss was great.
Then the next word I got was a great sinner.
What? this man must have heard the gospel. And then the word under that I was down, exquisite saved. Oh, I tell you, tear come to my eyes, I took that off. I said, why isn't it wonderful to sound on this sort, at this good school, to recognize in 1857? When this man was buried in Christ, you were saved. But I went on to read this great statement of all this. A great sinner saved by a greater Savior. My friend, that's the gospel tonight. But we're trying to preach, I can sit down. If you would let that soak deep into your soul tonight, you as a sinner without Christ need a great Savior, and we present one to you, friend. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Stands in all his unique dignity, majesty, glory. Christ down there upon the cross, taken into the world of sinners. Friend, saved from our sins. That's what will keep heaven closed for you, to you forever, friend. If you don't get your sins looked after, and your sins atoned for, and looked at Christ to see the oil up on the cross. That's the barrier of sins. That's why we need to be saved, friend. From our sins. You know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5? We are saved from wrath. To heaven. Would that God would help me and empower me tonight. I feel I need to pray rather than pray. Sinners are from God to everlasting fire. That's the consequences of your sins. There's no way around it. You get the wiseacres of earth taking it out of your Bible or out of your hymn book. The hair is deep and the eyes are. Turn poor sinner, turn point. Heaven is light, all bright and joyful, and its light may shine on thee. Did you ever understand, friend, in something there, that your sins, if they're not atoned for, if they're not put away, if you've never understood the death of Christ as that which became the substitute for you, a poor sinner, the consequences is a wrath of God. I will let them preach that word. I have to listen to the book. 38 years ago, I trembled. I literally trembled. Not ashamed of them. At 21 years of age, I literally wept tears. Not that they put away one stain that couldn't do it well, but I was so hard. How can I make God of this? Then I thought, how can I go down to hell in our sins? Then I said, oh. Stop and ponder that. Would God touch your heart? Man, wrong. We love you and God loves you. It desires you to be in heaven, not hell. What place of that are you saved from your sins and from the consequences of your sins of man, of God? The eternal judgment, the fire that will never be cleansed, the pains that will never be alleviated, the sorrows that will never come to an end, the tears that will never be wiped away, the darkness that will never be penetrated, the night that knows no morning, endlessly and forever. Stop tonight. Where would you be? You are to go tonight. You are to last the odds. Oh, that's the truth. Thank God it all shall be. What is you? Are you saved? Are you? When the old gentleman was asked, are you saved? He tapped the old kid on the footpath.
And he said to the man, saved?
Why, he said, I'm saved from the Lord's hell. Saved with the ice. Are you saved with us?
Saved. You know, it's lucky to be saved through life. You know what it has to be saved for?
I'm more concerned with this now than ever. I'm 38 years of age. You know, I've most of my life lived. Been born. I'm gone back. You know, last night,
to be saved is a grand thing to have when it comes to death. In fact, it's the only thing.
We were preaching in a fist. And Halifax went down with a tent, the first tent he ever had. There's a Czechoslovakian chap who's in the meeting in Halifax. He's a great man to get people out in the meetings. And he brought along a businessman. He owned his own construction business. He had it made. He just won a well padded with his house paid for, no mortgages, two cars, a wife and a child. And because Hubert played him, I'm just using the exact words, he played him to come. He says, all right, I'll go for a night, Hubert. Just get you off my back. I came. Never forget. You know, that man said to Hubert, he says, if that man is right in what he's saying, it means that I'm going to hell.
You know, we closed those meetings. That man never come to any more meetings and went back again purposely for him.
And when I went back to see that man brought to the meetings, he only came to another one meeting. That was at the end of the meetings.
Stepped in the last night
under the canvas roof, and I went and said to him, Sheldon, I said, boy, I said, I missed you. I come here with this tent for your soul.
What he said to me, he said, look, Mr. Hull, he said, look, I may as well tell you honestly, if I was signing a deal for 200,000 or a quarter of a million or even 100,000, he said, if I was doing that every night, I would be here every night.
And he said, yet I have a soul that's more valuable in all the world. And he said, I'm sorry, he said, I should have been here. He said, please forgive me. But he said, I still think I want to be first.
I went to Ireland and I got the news. Sheldon Hatt
is lying in a hospital bed, cancer coursing through his body.
I wrote to him.
Hubert visited, some other preachers visited. God saved him in the hospital ward. When he said to me when I got back, wrote me a letter. He said, Albert, called me Albert. He said, Albert, I hope God spares me just to come back. But he said, I wanted to name a few months.
He did stare.
Never forget when I'm back. He said, you know, I was a fool. He says, not to go in for a murder. He said, I've got it made. He said, I've got plenty of money. He said, I own my own house and I've got plenty in the bank.
I never knew what it was to have a mortgage for years.
That my car's paid for. You know, he was going to pay, this is what touched me, he was going to pay for a grace that they had to give him, that he'd be standing on his feet so weak. And of course, they wanted the money for the grace. And the nurse came in kindly, of course, and said, Mr. Hattie, have you got the money for the grace? He says, my dear, he said, I could buy 1,000 of those braces, and I wouldn't cost me money.
But she said, the doctor wants the money.
He says, the money's been sitting on that table this last 2 months. She says, where? In my Bible.
I said, you know what I've discovered?
He said, I've discovered the Bible is a better bank than the Royal Bank. For he said, you've walked around that Bible every day, and you've dusted all around it, and you've never touched an old dust. He said, I don't want to tell you, my dear nurse, if you're going to meet me in heaven, you need to believe what that Bible says. You call that $100 bill or whatever it was, I'll give it to her, please.
He's gone to heaven. Friend, tonight in the meeting, I hope God will touch you tonight. Saved! Saved, friend, from your sins and saved from the wrath to come.
How does this all come about by grace? Well, that tells me God stamps the word grace for one particular purpose, friend. You cannot merit God's salvation.
There's nothing about any one of us. I can't present my prayers.
I can't present my good living. I can't present my baptisms. I can't present anything that I could ever do. There's no merit.
Any one of us tonight to merit God's salvation. That's why it's by grace alone. When you get God's salvation, if you get it tonight in this meeting, you know what you'll say? I never deserved it. I've been saying that for 38 years. In fact, it's more impressed upon me the longer I live and enjoy Christ.
Friend, you could never merit it. Not one thing. Could you merit before God? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. And the Bible indicates, friend, very, very clearly, man stands totally, totally, friend, dependent upon God's sovereign, matchless, unique grace. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb. All my sorrows took. Grace all the works shall crown to everlasting days. That is
wonderful, isn't it?
Free grace. The old Puritans preached it, the apostles preached it, and we preach it, friend. Grace. Mr. Frank Knox, and I heard him many times in the old company. He always gave that in about the big ten meetings. Gracious Spirit. Gracious Spirit. My friend, there's nothing like the old, old story. Grace. Spirit. On very good favor. Let me get very quickly to the close. It's a gift, friend. You can't pay for it. Oh, I tell you, friend, there's many people, and they will love to think they could put their little small amount of payment to somehow or other place alongside the gift. God will not accept it, friend. The work is done. The debt is paid. The gift is yours for the taking. The moment you take Christ, the moment you understand yonder at Calvary died that I may have eternal life. Friend, it's a gift. The work is done. The gift is offered. I like the simple, maybe it's a kind of homely and a little, but it's good anyway. When the man was teaching the children in the classroom, a lot of little place, boys and girls in the street hadn't heard much gospel, and they were all around him. He said, now he said, boys, I'm going to speak on a gift, and give us little words, just as simple ABC. And he wanted to explain a gift. And he pulled a $2 bill out or something like this. He said, you know, the first boy up gets this, or the first guy, you know, they all sat glued. They thought he didn't mean it. They'd never seen anyone with a $2 going to give him a $2 bill. So they stuck fast in the seat and said, look, I mean this. He said, the first one up, again he stopped. Until a little freckled, cheap boy, red hair, not too well clad boy, he took one bound out of the seat and he looked and he just grabbed it back. They headed back. The man said, excuse me, what did you say? Oh, he said, I forgot it. Thank you very much, sir. Took the gift. Now that's simple, isn't it? God's salvation is in the simplest terms as a gift, friend. You can't pay for it. It's within your reach, friend. It's within the reach of all men. Finally, by faith. Someone says, well, it seems a complicated thing with salvation. You folks seem to be so sure you're going to heaven. Yes, friend. We wouldn't preach if we weren't sure. How did it all come about? Yes, it's by grace. We never merit it. Yes, it's a gift. We can't pay for it. But friend, it's in the basis of faith. You know what faith means? You listening? It just means exactly what I'm going to tell you. Taking God at His word. But this is how it when I was in Iowa, you know, coming home, I was in the farming community, and they all have a big John Deere tractors, you know, green and yellow. They think it's nothing like a John Deere, nothing runs like a deer.
And of course, when I went home, the new
one little boy, he was only 4 years of age.
44?
The other girls were at school, the two older ones.
And of course, Harley Brooks said to me, look, he said, I want you to take this sack of here, son. It was nice little bar.
All of which looked quite big. I would have, a little boy, I would have said, I'd won the lot, I'd get up in the grass.
Anyway, there I was. And I remember writing to my wife the week before I left for the meeting to conclude. I said, hold all the mail and tell the children that Dad's coming home. Meet me at the airport Monday at 3 o'clock. They liked that, those call. And the little boy, of course, wasn't at school yet.
And then I put a postscript on the letter.
And I said, tell David that Dad is bringing him a John Deere tractor. Two big leaves at the back, two little ones at the front, and I just slammed it as best you could. I tried to draw a little thing out of a matter drawer. And there's a little man inside me, the curtains, green and yellow.
And of course, my wife reads the letter, and then finally she says, oh, son, David Cooper, his little word from Dad.
And then the boy comes over, and she said, here's what you meant. Here's son. Dad's coming home on it. It's bringing the John Deere tractor. It's 20 inches wide. It's straight to the door. Well, sir.
His eyes nearly popped out.
But you know what I enjoyed when I got that for the illustration? When the two girls, you know, when the two girls came home from school, when after that letter had arrived, that little note from his mother, they came down to me in the house, and he jumped. He says,
Ruth, I've got a John Deere tractor!
I can almost hear him say it. You know what they said? Where is that? Hadn't got it.
What he says, God says, I have it. In other words, you took God at his word. And it was as good as I was from that out of the door. Friend, 38 years ago, I didn't see Christ in that cross. But he's broken. And I didn't see my sins pulled upon him. I wasn't there.
But this Bible says so clearly.
Listen, friend. Christ died for the ungodly. And just took him out for it. And when I took him at his word, forgive him. He left it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not one of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of us. Yes, amen.